Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
This is Barbecue Nation with Jeff Tracy. Jeff, the cowboy cook, has been all over the world and knows all things barbecue. Jeff is an author, an actor, radio and TV host, and loves his horses. If he's not cooking or riding horses, he's playing golf. So, hey, ready to talk barbecue? Here's JT.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Nation. That's the Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, along with my rough and ready lieutenants, Camaro Dave and Commander Chris. Hi atop the radio world in Portland. And we'd like to thank all of our radio affiliates on the Barbecue Nation Radio Network and our base station, our new base station here in Portland, AM 860, The Answer. And we appreciate them letting us share their airwaves with all our barbecue listeners. Artie Davis is a well-known judge on the barbecue circuit and also the founder of Grease House University. And Artie, you can't talk about national barbecue competitions, the Royal, the Jack, those things, without talking about Artie. I mean, he's just there. And we're very fortunate to have him back on the show today. How are you, my friend?
I'm fine. Thanks for the flattery.
Well, it's all good. Now, you recently wrote an article in National Barbecue News about, it's kind of a fictitious scenario and part of it about robots and barbecue. And I found that kind of fascinating. For one of the things you say in your article is that 40% of, 40% of the jobs, like manual jobs that people do by 2035, I think it is, will be gone because they'll be done by robots. My nephew, who's works in digital security, he told me the number is closer to 60% of the jobs. Well, so I just want to throw that out there. Cheer up, everybody, you know. So yeah. What gave you the impetus to write this?
Well, I've read a lot about the robotics and the future and all that, and I wasn't seeing anything as it relates to barbecue. And I thought, well, we have a stake in this arena, and barbecue people need to be thinking about it and talking about it and learning about it, because we don't want to be passed by. We value the past, and we also want to know what's happening in the future and have a role in making it happen. So that's what triggered it. It's just fascinating to me. And I don't know if you watched the video, the link that I sent to a video of the experimental kitchen in the United Kingdom, where you just walk into the kitchen, touch the iPad or the equivalent of an iPad on the wall and say, "Grandma's lasagna," and punch that. And then these robotic arms and hands prepare that dish. It's just fascinating. And I can see the same thing happening eventually with barbecue. You know, we could have robotic pit masters, and instead of us bragging about how good our barbecue is, like I can cook better than you can or that kind of stuff, we'll be saying my robot can cook better than your robot. I mean, I'm just imagining, you know, right now it's more of a fun fictional thing, but it's something to be aware of.
Well, it was like in the old Star Trek stuff, they would do a food replicator. Yeah. And you walk in and you'd say, I'd like a filet with a baked potato, and within a minute or so, there it was for you.
Yeah. Yeah. And that seems to be more closer to reality than fantasy these days, you know, and with robots that can, you know, there's artificial intelligence, and then there's artificial general intelligence, which is even a higher level of intelligence, and that they can differentiate one customer's palate from another, what you like, what you don't like. And I can imagine robotic pit masters preparing barbecue exactly the way you want it every time.
Well, that would give an unfair advantage, though, in a way.
Because there wouldn't be any more contests.
Yeah, because especially if you knew the judges, are you going to have to go to robotic judges?
Yeah, that's the next step. Yeah, you hear a lot of or some complaints among teams that those judges don't know what they're doing, and if they get a bad score, and the solution to that really is robotic judges, because then you have complete consistency. And I don't think we want to go there, but.
You could program them to the judges. You could program their palates, if you will, and then you could program your robot to know that what their palate's like, and you'd have the same winners all the time.
Well, that's true. Yeah, that's true. Or it would be very expensive to duplicate each judge as a robot. But you'd get the same results as if real people were judging. If you programmed each robot to judge according to the individual taste of a judge.
That's getting a little scary there, Artie.
It is getting scary.
That's good. Because to be able to do that, they would have to know all of your inner dynamics. not just your thoughts and your taste buds, but also how you're wired. And I don't want anybody knowing how I'm wired. That's
I know it's getting very scary. There's a novel out, I've forgotten the name of it, about a robot that actually is so far developed that it's like it interacts with its owner and his or her network like it's a real human. I mean, love is involved in all that. It's this McEwan novelist from England.
Right.
I've forgotten the title, but, and there have been a lot of other fictional accounts of robots getting involved with humans.
Well, all you have to do is look at...
I haven't seen it in barbecue.
Yeah, just look at the movies. And, the Avengers movie that's coming out, they had the character... played by Paul Bettany, that was part robot, part human, kind of integrated like there. And, some of that stuff is really good, especially when they're helping people that have been injured or harmed, or maybe that were born with a disability and they can actually, get the prosthetics and stuff. I think that stuff's great. But you got to stay out of my food. You got to stay out of my barbecue.
Yeah.
That's a pretty tough deal.
I feel the same way. I don't know if we can prevent it, but it is scary in that regard.
Just something we're all going to have to learn to live with, I'm afraid.
Ray Kurzweil is a futurist who says the singularity is coming. He talks about how people in the future, in the not-too-distant future, will be so integrated with computer chips that we're part robot and part human, but who knows? He's come a long way on some of his predictions that have worked out. He's an inventor as well. So,
I'll tell you what, I've got enough replacement parts in me at this stage of my life. I feel robotic some mornings when I get up.
I can relate to that.
That's a tough deal. Hey, we're going to take a break here on Barbecue Nation. We're going to come back and talk with Artie Davis some more. Real quickly before we go to break, this portion of Barbecue Nation was brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. With no hormones or antibiotics, Painted Hills Natural Beef, where quality is guaranteed. We'll be back with Artie Davis right after this.
Ladies buy all the finer things, but all that don't mean nothing when you can't get a good night's sleep.
Barclays for your gold, silver, collectibles, rare coins, and high-quality jewelry. Barclays in Oregon, 503-982-2033. That's 503-982-2033. Barclays, buysellpawn.com. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, and you're listening to us here in Portland on AM 860 The Answer, and out there in the world on the Barbecue Nation Radio Network. This portion of Barbecue Nation is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. As I told you before, with no hormones or antibiotics, Painted Hills Natural Beef, where quality is guaranteed. If you'd like to email us, it's bbq@salempdx.com. You got that? bbq@salempdx.com. Also, you can go to SoundCloud and check out Barbecue Nation with JT. And a couple of our affiliates we want to say hi to, KVI in Seattle and KPNW down in Eugene. Artie Davis, the Hall of Famer that's gracing our airwaves with us today. We're talking about robots and barbecue. You know, one of the things we kind of a little bit off of robotics, but it's kind of in the same genre, is that a lot of the states around, especially out here on the West Coast, I don't know so much about the East Coast, but they're kind of cracking down on anything that burns outside as far as carbon footprint and all that. Mm-hmm. You know, pellet grills like that, charcoal grills, gas grills, they don't have much of a problem with. You know, and to me, that all kind of ties into that advancement of mankind type thing. I don't think it's a big problem, but somebody's definitely going to find a problem with it.
Yeah, that concerns me, because I can't imagine barbecue without real wood smoke. I mean that's, to me, that's required.
Yeah.
I mean, you can use gas and you can use some wood chips with it and still get a good smoke flavor, but if you ban, you know, cooking with wood, that's not good, as far as I'm concerned.
No, well, back where you live there in the Midwest, it's, I don't think people get
so
too,
far it's,
they don't care about
it. Not
an
issue so far.
Yeah.
But, and let me, you were talking about beef, that made me hungry for good old steak or brisket.
There you go.
And you know, that's some of my favorite to eat, and I, you know, I'm glad you're promoting a beef company that sounds like a good quality.
Oh, they're excellent. Painted Hills is excellent. I've been working with them for a little over 15 years, and their meat never disappoints. So there, they got some free publicity there, but it is true. They are an excellent beef.
I believe you're the expert there. So I believe you.
Well, let's go back to robotics for a minute.
Okay.
So how would a robot actually, can you visualize, Artie, how would a robot actually like select the steak or select the ribs or the chicken, whatever? Mm-hmm. I mean, even though they've got them now, so they're a bit ambidextrous with their fingers and that, you still got this one thing that's visual. That when you look at it,
they have the human element.
Yeah. And then you got to be able to smell.
Right.
You know, you don't want to get a chicken that's kind of 2 days past prime, you might say.
That's right. Yeah.
So what are your thoughts
on
that?
That would be a higher level of robotics.
Yeah.
To be able to select the meat. That's a good question. I think there'll still be a role for humans, even if we resort to robotic pit masters. The human would still have to choose the best meat and based on their preferences. So, yeah, and I assume that robotic people will work on selection too, but I don't think they can replace human judgment on that.
Are they going to give these robots personalities? I mean, can you imagine a robot with Myron Mixon's personality?
I won't tell Myron you said that. That's funny.
He'll probably hear about it through the show.
Yeah. That's a good question. And, in fact, that would be valuable in some cases, because we'd love to have Myron around for a long time, and if create a Myron robot, that'd be great. and Tuffy Stone and
some of these. Mo Kaysen and all those guys, you know?
Yeah, that'd be great.
You'd have to kind of be careful, though. I'm not sure you'd want to plug in all of Myron's vocabulary.
Yeah, that's right. You know? Yeah, you'd have to put some kind of editor in there.
Yeah, it would be like in radio. We have a 4-second delay. You know?
That'd be good. Yeah, and I've also thought in a similar vein. I wish we would be doing some virtual reality filming of these great pitmasters who won't. None of us will always be here. We all know that.
Right.
There's always an end. And it'd be great to get them into virtual reality so that future generations can actually see what they look like, how they talked, and, you know, the real thing.
Yeah, that might be
almost
a little spooky, too. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Well, it would be. Disney's already got those presidential characters that are not virtual reality, but robotic type. You know,
well, they've had one with I don't think they put it out anymore, but in Disneyland in Anaheim, they had one of Lincoln for years that was very robotic, but he talked and his eyes moved and stuff. It was like a little spooky when you were a kid. You know?
That is, it would be very spooky. Now, you know, on the topic of where we're going in barbecue, one other concern I have is. An interest and concern is how the fast food industry has picked up on the Impossible Burgers.
Right.
It's a plant-based burger. I don't know if you've had one. I've had the Impossible One at Houlihan's here in Kansas City. And, you know, it's very close to regular meat, you know. And then now they have Impossible Two, which... Burger King is experimenting with their Whopper in St. Louis. And, of course, they show the videos that would be positive, but the people they showed who had tasted it couldn't believe that it wasn't a real Whopper. And White Castle, again, they've had so much success with it that they're system-wide now with Impossible Sliders. I think it's $1.99. I haven't tried one of those. I love those old greasy sliders.
Oh, yeah.
Castle.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to imagine anything could be better.
Oh.
But since Burger King is, quote, flame grilled, I thought, well, now this is getting pretty close to barbecue, and we don't have a hamburger category in our contest, but I'm sure these food scientists are working on meat that, it's like a steak or like ribs and all that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
That may be coming down the pike. But right now, we better enjoy the real stuff while we have it.
I think so. We're going to take a break here on Barbecue Nation. We're going to be back with Hall of Famer Artie Davis right after this. It's Barclays for your gold, silver, collectibles, rare coins, and high-quality jewelry. That's Barclays in Oregon, 503-982-2033, 503-982-2033, at BarclaysBuySellPawn.com. Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. A little Reba McEntire there in Oklahoma Swing. We've got Artie Davis, Hall of Famer, barbecue judge extraordinaire, Remus Powers. We'll talk about that one of these days again. And all kinds of titles Artie has, but his biggest power is his noggin. I'm going to tell you that right now because he's a very smart man. This portion of Barbecue Nation is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can be proud to serve your family and friends. And also my friends down at Barclays in North Valley. That's Barclays Buy, Sell, Pawn in Woodburn. They've got 10,000 unique items. There might be something there that you just can't live without. That's Barclays on Highway 99E in Woodburn. That's my hometown, actually. So let's talk with Artie Davis again. We've been talking about robotics. You know, every time we've come with the development of mankind, you know, we developed the wheel millions of years ago, and the wheel gave us an ease to move things. But it also started kind of the faster mode of transportation. And then as we've seen that, with the faster mode of transportation became more conflict. So I'm just kind of concerned about too many electronic moving parts in barbecue.
Mm-hmm. I share that concern. You know, I'm kind of old school when it comes to technology. And if you don't mind, I will refer to a new book.
Yeah.
By Jim Ockmoody, that if you treasure the real barbecue of the past and the present, it's called Smoke Lore, and it's a short history of barbecue in America. Just came out at the University of Georgia Press, and I highly recommend it to anyone who is interested in barbecue, wants to know the history of it, and a lot. It even includes some recipes. And it has old vintage pictures and old vintage postcards. It's a really inspiring and entertaining book. And Jim says it was a labor of love, and I believe him. And he's an Atlanta native. His grandfather, I think, owned a barbecue restaurant, and his dad was a great barbecue cook. So Jim's been at it for a long time. And I just tell you, you won't be disappointed with that book.
What, say it again. What was it?
It's called Smoke Lore, A Short History of Barbecue in America. And it's by Jim Ockmoody, Ockmuty. And it's the University of Georgia Press. I'm sure if you go to Amazon or one of the online dealers, or go to your local independent book dealer and they can order it for you.
You probably call
University of Georgia.
University of Georgia, they could handle it for you too.
Yeah.
They actually like that when you buy direct from them.
Yeah, that's good. And it's lots of eye candy, very quality printing and photos, and I instead of electronic books, I like to hold the book in my hand, and this is one that will get held a lot in my hand.
So, Artie, I got a question for you. Where, in your opinion, now this is just your opinion, and I would probably, you know, concur with your opinion, but where should we set the limits? You know, we've got digital thermometers. We've now got apps on our phone that tell us when our temperature on our grill is getting too hot or too cold, or we need more fuel, or it's at the perfect temperature. You know, you can do that. You can virtually do that now with sensors that you don't really have to pay attention as much. Where should we put limits on that?
Good question. And I have to say my bias is, you know, it's enough already. You know, I don't want to go the direction of the robotic pit master. And, you know, I think it's great that if you want gadgets that control temperature and let you know what's going on inside the pit without having to lift the lid and all that, you know, I have no issue with that, but I think that's enough, you know?
Yeah. Well, I always thought it kind of ended at the rotisserie.
Yeah, well, and that's a part of the old style. I mean, that's been around for, you know, if you look at those old books from Better Homes and Gardens and all that from the 1950s, rotisserie cooking was very popular then. And it's a great method of cooking, you know, because it's kind of self-basting the meat.
Right.
So, yeah, I include that in the old technology.
Ours at home when I was growing up didn't work out so well. We had the rotisserie. People who listen to the show have heard me talk about this before, but we had this little three-legged kind of tripoded black barbecue, and it was probably 4 inches deep at its, you know, at the deepest part. And it had this half hood on it that kind of covered and hooded half of the grill space. And then the other was open, and there was a rotisserie that you put in there, and it would kind of didn't have much power to go. And so my mom was always one to want when we did barbecues, rotisserie chicken. She liked rotisserie chicken.
Yeah.
And
great way to cook it.
Yeah. And we would put it out there. But that rotisserie, and then the chicken would start sliding. You know, it wasn't hooked in properly on the skewer, and go, boom, and it would do that. And I just remember that. So we had this kind of overly crispy. It's a nice way to put it on one half of the chicken, and the other chick part was we were covering it with barbecue sauce to make it look kind of the same. You know what I mean?
That must have been the Rube Goldberg invention.
It was. Yeah. My dad could cook, but he never would. Because my mom did it for him all the time. My mom learned to cook in volume, like so many wives of, you know, the World War II era. Mm-hmm. And living on farms. So they cooked for a mass. They didn't really perfect anything. They just kind of learned to do it. And it was all great food. I mean, we never went hungry growing up. But once you got away from home and you kind of learned there was other ways to cook and stuff, it was, you know, it got your attention.
Yeah.
It got your attention.
I'm sure you could find a better rotisserie method today.
Oh, I think so. I think I've got a few, actually.
Yeah.
But I can still remember that, sitting out on this little tiny back porch we had and a little concrete slab with an overhang on it and that thing and had to have an extension cord and... which they still do, but you know, it was just that, and that chicken would slop around on there. Oh God. Anyway, that was my childhood memories of barbecue.
One other technology thing that you reminded me of is heating, you know, a charcoal heater.
Right.
There's one, it's made in, I don't know if it's Switzerland or some country. It's like a hair dryer, but you know, it's a high powered hair dryer, but now it's only electrical. You have to plug it in, and they're working on coming up with a battery powered one that can be recharged, and I'd be in the market for one of those.
There you go. And then, well, you know, if we can make hand tools, Artie, that have, you know, that you can use them for a half a day on a battery.
Right.
You know, we should apply that technology to it.
Sure. Yeah, I can see some innovation that would be helpful in that regard.
Well, especially if you're out somewhere, you know.
Sure.
And there's no power cord and you don't want to drag your generator or try to tap it into the car or whatever you're doing. If you have that type of technology, it's pretty good.
Yeah, and they could make it solar powered so you could recharge with sunshine.
And we're just getting our share this year, just starting now. We don't get a lot of it up here.
Yeah. So
we're kind of doing all our own recharging right now.
Yeah.
Couple of things before we go to break. If you want to email us, it's barbecuebbq@salemmediapdx. Don't forget that on SoundCloud. We're going to break 100,000 downloads here probably in a short period of time. You can go to Barbecue Nation with JT. Also, our Facebook page is Barbecue Nation with JT. So you can find us out there. Send us a comment if you want. That's fine. If you're too critical, I'll just pour barbecue sauce on you. So
That's a good way.
We're going to take a break. We're going to come back and wrap up the show with Artie Davis, Barbecue Hall of Famer, author, creator, inventor, and all-around good guy right after this. Don't go away. Barclays for your gold, silver, collectibles, rare coins, and high-quality jewelry. Barclays in Oregon, 503-982-2033. That's 503-982-2033. Barclays, buysellpawn.com. Welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm your host, JT. You're listening to us here in Portland on AM 860, The Answer. See that? I like it. And also the Barbecue Nation Radio Network out there, about from Texas to Washington to Canada, wherever you. We're talking with Artie Davis, the Hall of Famer, who wrote an article in the National Barbecue News about robots, which I was pretty impressed by because I liked the story. And we're going to get back and talk to Artie just in a second here. KCBS, if you're a member of KCBS, that's great. You know what I'm talking about here. But they've got the National Barbecue Day with Ace Hardware stores all across the country. And they're still looking for people to go grill. You get paid for this, to show off your grilling skills and your barbecue skills at an Ace Hardware. You use their gear. So go to the KCBS website. You can do on the Ace Hardware promotion there. And they have a list of cities and towns where they need people to grill and barbecue for them. So check that out, and maybe you get the call to go grill for somebody. I think that's a pretty cool deal, Artie. I like that.
It is, yeah. It's good exposure for the cooks and for the public.
Oh, yeah. The funny thing is, nobody's doing it here in the Portland area.
Huh.
You know?
Well, I guess you're going to have to step up.
Yeah. I don't have enough to do now.
That's right. You know, speaking of Barbecue Nation, the Atlanta History Center has an exhibit that Jim Hawk Moody helped with on the history of barbecue, and that's partly where this book stemmed from.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're out in that area, you'd love to take that in, too.
Oh, I'd love to.
Yeah.
I would love to. So, for people who haven't ever heard you on my show before, you know, you created or helped create the Royal. You've done the sauce contest. You've done all this stuff. What is your favorite part of barbecue, Artie?
The people. I mean, that's what keeps me going. In addition to just the food is out of this world. But I value both. I value the food and the people, but it's the relationships, the friendships you develop, the acquaintances. There's just so many good people involved in the whole arena of barbecue, from contests to restaurants. I mean, it's a whole network of barbecue enthusiasts out there, and I get a lot of energy from them and inspiration and fun.
To me, it's all about the lifestyle, the camaraderie, the intermingling, right. You know.
Yeah, a lot of characters out there and good stories. It just goes on and on.
I've made a living telling stories.
That's good. That's,
you know,
you're gifted at it.
Yeah, well, that's not what some people would call it, but I love good stories. I love a good plate of food. I actually enjoy it more if I prepare a good plate of food for people and I see them smile. That makes me the happiest.
That does feel good.
Yeah, it does.
I cooked ribs the other night for a wedding shower. A friend's daughter was getting married, and everybody loved the ribs. And then I don't know if you've ever met Guy Simpson, the KC Rib Doctor. We lost him a few years ago. And I always remember Guy saying, well, everybody loves free ribs. So
yeah.
It takes me down a notch. But, you know, I think they were sincere. I think they liked it. And who, you know, as long as you do it right, I mean, who's not going to like barbecue?
Well, yeah.
I'll bet yours was fantastic. Like I said, you've been making me hungry this whole discussion.
It's the visual imprint that we're able to do here that makes people think about it. You know, I do think that that's one of the most gratifying things for me is to do, you know, a nice dinner. And it's not always barbecue, you know.
Right.
It's,
right.
You know, indoor cooking with electric and gas utensils or you know, mechanics in there. But I really think that's the most important thing to me is when you do, you know, you make several nice racks of ribs or you're doing tri-tips or briskets, doesn't matter. You know, when people sit down and they eat it and you see them, you don't ask them. You just keep an eye on them. And if they start to smile,
right,
you know, then you know you did good.
And they don't have to say anything.
No, they don't have to say anything. We got to get out of here for the radio version of Barbecue Nation. I'm going to ask Artie to stick around for the after hour segment so you can tune into SoundCloud on that. But Artie, thanks for being on the show again today. We will
have you
back soon.
Great talking with you, Jeff.
No problem. It's always a pleasure talking to you. You can check out my stuff on thecowboycook.com, and we'll be back next week with another edition of Barbecue Nation. Take care, everybody.
Barbecue Nation is produced by JTSD Productions in association with Salem Media. All rights reserved. Copyright 2019.